Any comments about this case, Emmanuel? What do you think it means in terms of future clinical research?
So just to play the devil's advocate on my own study, there are some potential concerns here that we have not resolved. One is, when this patient eventually becomes rucaparib resistant, which he almost certainly will, is the fact that he had rucaparib first going to make him less hormone sensitive? That is a question that bothers me, and we have not resolved that. We have data from our laboratory showing that if you give olaparib to prostate cancer cell lines that are BRCA2 deficient and you treat them long enough, one of the things that happens is you change the nuclear localization of AR, and the AR basically moves from being predominantly nuclear to becoming cytoplasmic without using any charcoal strip medium or androgen deprivation therapies or antiandrogens. And we've only been able to do this with one cell line, and we have not replicated that yet. But part of me wonders whether at least some of the effect that we saw in this patient could potentially be an indirect effect on somehow inhibiting the AR. That is more speculative at this point in time. But if that is the case, it is possible that there might be some cross-resistance with downstream AR regulation. Again, I'm just speculating. The other thing I want to say, and I don't want to give too much away because hopefully we'll publish this trial one day. We've enrolled 6 patients on this trial, Neil, and 5 of the 6 have had responses quite similar to this one. So this is not a unique case. We are accepting all types of HRD germline mutations. It has to be germline. So we are not allowing people that have somatic only. The theory behind that is we hypothesize that those patients that have a germline first hit are more likely to have a somatic second hit, whereas patients that have a somatic first hit may not always and sometimes don't have a somatic second hit. So this is purely for germline positive cases. The patient that did not respond, going back to the CHECK2, is a patient with a germline CHECK2. And all the patients that have responded have been BRCA2 or BRCA1. The other thing that we're doing is that we are doing a similar study using olaparib in patients that have a biochemical recurrence after local therapy, again, without ADT. And in that trial, they're getting olaparib for their non-metastatic BCR, biochemical recurrent prostate cancer. And in that study, we have enrolled about 20 patients, and we've seen 6 responses. Interestingly, that study was biomarker unselected. In other words, we were giving olaparib to all patients, and then we were retrospectively, after the patient was enrolled, going back to their primary prostatectomy tissue and sequencing that. And it turns out that in our first 20 patients on that study, which is a 50-patient trial, the 6 patients that responded all had BRCA2 mutations, and one had an ATM mutation. So again, this can be done in the hormone-sensitive setting, both in terms of radiographic metastatic disease, like in the TRIOMPH study, and in terms of biochemical recurrent disease. Again, the FDA has been very strict with us in both of those trials, and they have mandated that if we see more than one case of MDS or AML, the entire study will immediately shut down. They were appropriately concerned about exposing patients with a long life expectancy to drugs that might cause MDS or AML. So the way that it was phrased, and we had to agree with it, was if we see one case, it could be just accidental. But if there's 2 or more cases of MDS or AML in either of those 2 studies, the study will permanently shut down.
So wow squared. And sometimes people say things, they kind of trigger memories that I have of people saying things to me. And this thing about maybe it's working through AR. Oliver, I think I remember in the past people speculating that taxanes, docetaxel, in some way were connected to AR. Is that the case?
There's been some data that suggests that the translocation of AR from the cytoplasm to the nucleus may be inhibited by taxanes. And it turns out that there is some validity in my mind toward that data. There's clearly an interaction between AR and PARP inhibitors that has been shown, and this is coming out of Jefferson, where some very nice papers have shown interactions between the AR and DNA repair pathways. So it's an interesting evolutionary time right now, where the PARP inhibitors may interact with a variety of other therapies. And of course, we're going to learn whether or not this is true. They are targeted agents because we have good prospective trials that are designed to ask that question.
So, Emmanuel, do these men have decreased testosterone levels?
So that's a great question. We have been testing that, and so far we have not seen that. So their circulating testosterone does not decrease. We still don't know what's happening to testosterone localization in the cancer cell.